a young girl dreaming of love, and a young man going his own way. She'd dreamed of love once, but she'd been a child, and for a child, magic and miracles were always possible, and happy ever after, simple and real. Over time, she'd learned it was best to believe in the miracles and happy ever after she could achieve herself, with hard work, determination, and long hours. Plenty of satisfaction in that, she told herself. And she'd better get started on the day's miracle and get the hell out of bed. She sat up, then just hugged her knees in and smiled at the fire he'd left simmering. He was sweet that way, she mused. Sweet to stir up the fire, add a log so she'd wake up to its warmth and light on a gloomy March morning. She was lucky to have him in her life. Had always known that. But now she was lucky to have this new, fascinating connection with him. Luckier still, he was as content to take things one day at a time. No pressure, no scary talk about futures. She'd barely rolled out of bed when her phone signaled an incoming text. She rolled back, hoping it was Owen, suggesting she come in and have a look at the initial demo after all. But she read the quick message from Claire, asking her to stop by the bookstore before she headed into Hagerstown for supplies. A little puzzled, she answered, changed her plans to include a stop by the store, and hell, since she'd be right there, take a quick peek in at the demo. She grabbed a shower, pulled on jeans, added a sweater over a short-sleeved shirt to accommodate the fickle March weather. Lips pursed, she considered her hair. The latest rinse had faded some, so she added a mental note to check out the range of colors, see what she was in the mood to be. Downstairs, she discovered he'd made coffee, set a travel mug for her beside the pot. Another reason to smile, she thought. You could always count on Owen. She couldn't think of another man, other than her father, who was so consistently solid. On impulse, she went to his kitchen board, drew a heart with their initials in the center. Fueled with coffee and a quick yogurt, she pulled on boots, wrapped on a scarf, and shrugged into her coat before she saw the note by the door. Take this. It read. She rolled her eyes and grabbed the folded umbrella. She'd take it, but he'd be lucky if she didn't lose it somewhere along her morning run. Halfway to Boonesboro, the first drops of rain splattered her windshield. She could only cast her eyes skyward and think how annoying it was that Owen was always right. Minutes later, going over her morning plans, she forgot the umbrella and dashed through the rain to the bookstore's covered porch. She tapped on the glass, then used the key Claire had given her after the trouble with Sam Fremont the previous fall. As she stepped in, shaking rain from her hair, Claire walked down the stairs.
"Coffee's fresh," Claire announced. "I just had some, but who can say no to a latte? I'll fix you up. Thanks for coming by." "No problem. It's just the excuse I needed to nose into the new place. They're starting the demo this morning."
"I know, exciting." She steamed milk while Avery glanced at the best sellers on the front display.
"I need an afternoon off. A rainy afternoon like this one will probably be. So I can catch up on my reading. I couldn't get through the book club book this time. Why do I want to read about someone else's misery? Is it supposed to make me feel better about my life? Smug? Or just depressed, because it was bringing me down. I hated it, too. I choked it down the way I used to choke down the Brussels sprouts my mother insisted were good for me. It was a Brussels sprout book, and I'm not convinced they're good for me."
"Exactly,"
idly. Avery pulled down a thriller, skimmed the copy.
"Plus, if I sit down to read, I want creme brulee, or a good meaty steak, maybe pepperoni pizza. Possibly a hot fudge sundae. And now I'm hungry."
She turned back, smiling as she reached for the coffee.
"Thanks." "Hey, you look a little ragged out."
"Feeling a little draggy. A little off this morning."
"You can't catch anything." Avery pointed a decisive finger. "You're getting married in less than a month.
You're not allowed to catch anything. Here, you look like you need this more than I do.
Claire shook her head at the offered latte.
I haven't caught anything the way you mean, and I'm off coffee for now.
I'm not sick. Claire drew in a deep breath.
I'm pregnant.
What? Now? Pregnant as in baby on board?
Yes, now. Pregnant as in...
On a laugh, Claire pressed her hands to her belly, and Avery wondered how pale could go to glow so fast.
Oh, Claire! You're pregnant! And you're happy!
Setting the coffee down, Avery rushed around the counter, folded Claire into a hug.
I'm so happy for you! When did you find out? How far along are you? What did Beckett say?
I don't think I could be happier. This morning, though I suspected yesterday, probably about 2 weeks, and I haven't said anything to Beckett yet.
Why?
I need you to do me a favor first. You're going into Hagerstown, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be heading that way.
Could you pick me up a home pregnancy test?
You haven't taken one already? You said you found out this morning.
Morning sickness. The second day running. I know the signs. This would be the fourth time. I'm wifty and tired and sick in the mornings, and my body feels... It's hard to explain.
Again, she touched her belly, then her breasts. My body feels pregnant. But I want to confirm before I tell Beckett just in case I'm wrong. I just don't want to pop in the pharmacy here or in Sharpsburg to buy the kit.
Word spreads fast.
You got it. And since you're going into Hagerstown anyway, you could get one for me, in anonymity.
Happy to.
Wow. Wedding, honeymoon, family moon, baby! Beckett'll be good with it, right?
Very good. Reaching down, she chose a ginger ale for herself from the under-counter cooler.
We wanted a baby, though we thought we'd wait a few months. We weren't trying, but obviously we weren't not trying. If I've calculated right, we'll be a family of 6 next January, right about the time the inn has its first anniversary.
Can I tell Hope?
I'm going to see her later, but I'll swear the vow of silence if you want.
I'll let you know once I've taken the test. You can tell her right after I tell Beckett.
Vow of silence until. This is such good news. Good, happy news, she added with another huge hug for Claire. I'm not going to stop by to see the demo before I go. I don't want to risk it. I talk to no one. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Oh, boy.
Think, oh, girl, Claire laughed. I know it's silly, but God, I'd love to have a girl this time.
Thinking pink, she gave Claire a last hug. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Thanks. Wait, it's pouring. Let me give you an umbrella.
It's okay, I got one in the car.
She ran out, was soaked through before she got behind the wheel. But she grinned all the way out of town.
Owen left the crew to the demo, did a quick pass through the bakery project, mostly on schedule, he noted, and with Rye at one helm, Beckett at the other. He was free to drive into Hagerstown for materials, knock off some personal errands, and the ones his brothers had added to his list. He didn't much mind the multiple stops. More materials meant more progress. He didn't much mind driving in the rain. It could have been the snow currently hammering the northern part of the county and up into Pennsylvania. He'd had enough of snow, enough of winter, so he'd take the rain. He hoped Avery hadn't ignored the umbrella, as he knew she'd be doing just what he was doing. Multiple stops, multiple parking lots and dashes into stores, crossing off chores. Too bad they couldn't have gone together. But the stops didn't match up well enough to make it practical. If the weather guys were right, they were in for a full day of rain, a full night of it. He remembered Avery had scheduled herself to work, and to close. He could grab dinner at Vesta after work, use her apartment to finish up paperwork while she was downstairs. Stay at her place. He had to remind himself not to assume, but damn it, he'd reached the point he wanted to assume. He wanted her to do the same. Why shouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? But he couldn't shake the certainty that she'd braked on that particular step and wasn't quite willing to take the next. Then again, he had to admit the step they'd stopped on was pretty comfortable. He swung off for hardware, put an order in for lumber, picked up paint, then carpet samples for the over-the-bakery apartments. He streamed through his list, making a circuit, making his last stop the drugstore. He clicked through his own items, added Ryder's shaving cream, Beckett's Motrin, tossed in a couple of fresh sets of playing cards to supplement the naked women cards he'd already bought for Beck's poker night bachelor party. He started to turn down the next aisle and spotted Avery. It gave his heart a quick lift to see her like this, unexpectedly, and made him shake his head when he noticed her damp hair. She hadn't used the umbrella after all. He thought he'd ease down to her, come up behind, grab her. Imagined her reaction, the jolt, the squeak, the surprise, then the laugh. She was concentrating so hard, he thought, amused, trying to figure out which pregnancy test to buy. Jesus Christ! It was his last clear thought as he watched her take one off the shelf, give it another long study, front and back, then add it to her basket. He stood exactly where he was, rooted to the floor as she strolled away down the aisle, turned the next corner. A home pregnancy test. But she took. He used. How could Avery pregnant? How could she be pregnant? Well, he knew how, but she'd never said anything. Never gave the slightest hint. She thought maybe... She just picked up the Am I or Aren't I kit and added it in with her shower gel and shampoo and mouthwash. Just another item on the list? He wanted to go after her, ask her what the hell. Not the time or place, he told himself. Not the right frame of mind, since he couldn't decide what his frame of mind was exactly. He stared down at the things in his own basket. Couldn't think what to do. Couldn't think at all. Numb, a little shaky in the knees, he set the basket aside and left without buying a thing. He went back to the new job site, put his back into the demolition. It was hard to beat tearing out walls as a tension reliever. He hauled out hunks of drywall, lengths of splintered framing, personally busted up an old counter, and still felt shaky, frustrated, and tense as a wire about to snap. Avery, pregnant. How long did one of those tests take? How accurate were they? He wished he'd taken the time to look up the answers, give himself at least that much solid ground. First, if she'd bought a pregnancy test, she had reason to think she might be pregnant. Women didn't buy that kind of thing on a whim, did they? Why would they? People bought Band-Aids before they cut themselves, but didn't buy pregnancy test kits before they thought they were pregnant. So since she had reason to think she was, why hadn't she mentioned it? Just say, "Owen, there's a possibility I could be pregnant, so I'm going to buy a pregnancy test and find out." She had to be freaked out, except she hadn't looked freaked out. She looked calm, he remembered. She'd even smiled a little as she added it to her basket. Did she want to be pregnant? Thought she might be, liked the idea. She'd decided not to say anything until she knew one way or the other. If she wasn't, he supposed, she'd planned not to mention it at all. And that didn't seem right. No, that didn't sit well with him. If she was pregnant, he imagined she'd let him know whenever she wanted to let him know. Not telling him the maybe left him in the dark, or would have without that mutual trip to the CVS, so she got to choose if and when. That didn't sit well. Not one bit. When you factored in what her mother had done, shouldn't she, of all people, know the father? Jesus, maybe he was going to be a father. Had a right to know? There were two people involved in this, not just Avery.
They weren't casual sex pals or an impulsive one, two, or three-night stand. They were... He wasn't absolutely sure, now that he considered it, but they were in more than a casual get-laid-now-and-again relationship. Whatever they were, trust and honesty had to be key elements. She hadn't trusted him enough to tell him about her mother's visit until he'd put her back to the wall, he remembered. Instead, she'd holed up, walled off, shut him out. If she thought she could pull that on something like this, she was in for a major attitude adjustment.
Son of a bitch!
He heaved broken plywood into the dumpster.
Okay, Beckett came up behind him. You haven't worked off whatever it is, so spill it.
You want me to spill it?
In a rare show of temper, Owen kicked the dumpster.
I'll spill it. Avery's pregnant.
Holy shit.
Glancing around as one of the crew came out, Beckett waved the man off before taking Owen by the arm and pulling him under the overhang and out of the rain.
When did you find out?
Today, this morning.
And you know how I found out?
You know how, because she doesn't fucking tell me?
I found out because I walked into the goddamn CVS, and there she is, picking up one of those pregnancy tests.
Christ, Owen.
It was positive?
I don't know.
Temper rising, rising, he marched up and down the concrete walk.
She's not telling me any damn thing. She's sneaking off, buying one of those pee sticks instead of talking to me. I've had it.
Okay, take it down a notch. To halt his brother's angry pacing, Beckett moved into the path, held up both hands.
You don't know if she's pregnant.
I'd say, the way she handles things, I'll be the last to know.
Along with the sudden hot rage ran a cold stream of hurt.
I've had it!
What did she say when you asked her about it?
Nothing. I didn't.
After a moment staring at Owen's angry face, Beckett rubbed his hands over his own. You didn't ask her why she was buying the kit?
No. I froze, okay? Jesus. She's tossing it in her basket like it's a bag of candy, with a little smile, and I froze. What the hell would you do?
It's not the same for Claire and me. Beckett stared out at the rain, steady and slow, from under the pitch of the roof. We've talked about having a baby. We want to have another kid. I take it the two of you haven't discussed what you'd do on the if.
No. I never thought of the if. She should have told me, Beck. That's bottom line. She should have told me she needed a test. Why does she think she has to deal with everything by herself? I can't work that way, and I don't want to live that way.
No, you can't. Not Owen, Beckett thought. His brother was a born team player, an innate believer in partnership and shared loads. For Owen, secrets were for Christmas and birthdays, not for day-to-day living.
You need to talk to her, but Christ, not now. She's in the middle of her lunch rush, and you need to cool off some anyway.
I don't think cooling off's going to happen. The more I think about it, the more pissed off I am.
Then think about this. If she is pregnant, what do you want to do?
If she's pregnant, we should get married.
I didn't ask should, I asked want. He waited for his mind to make that subtle and vital switch.
If we're making a baby, I'd want to get married.
Okay, so take an hour to figure it out. You always figure it out, Owen. By that time, her place will have cleared out some. Go over and tell her you need to talk to her in private. And find out, for Christ's sake, if you're going to be a daddy before you freak out any more than you are. Then handle it.
You're right. Jesus, I feel a little...
sick?
Not exactly. Off. I never figured on anything like this. It's out of...
Owen's order of events. Adjust, he suggested, giving Owen a light punch on the shoulder.
Adjust. Yeah, I can adjust.
His face darkened. His eyes glinted.
but I'm not the only one who's going to.
He waited an hour, decided he'd calmed down, steadied up. He walked over to Vesta and the unrelenting rain and into the warm, into the sense of sauce and spice. Behind the cash register, Avery rang up a customer, sent Owen a sassy wink. A wink, he thought, heating up again. This wasn't the time for cute little winks.
Good timing, she told him. Things have just slowed down. I was going to run over and see what you guys have demolished so far.
I need to talk to you.
Sure, have a seat. I'm going to get Franny to take over. Do you want a slice?
No, and I need to talk to you upstairs in private.
Oh, crap. Is something wrong in the new place?
It's got nothing to do with that.
Then what, Avery?
His tone flattened, had her eyebrows drawing together. Upstairs, now, in private.
Fine. Fine, but you're screwing with my really good mood.
She stalked to the doorway between the kitchens.
Franny, I need to run out.
She pulled off her apron as she spoke, tagged it on a peg. I really want to see the new place, she began.
You can go after if that's what you want.
What are you pissed about? She asked as they went through the side door. I haven't done anything.
Maybe not doing is the problem.
Really screwing with my mood,
she repeated, and shoved open her apartment door.
Now what the hell is the problem?
His carefully planned, thoroughly reasonable approach fizzled away.
Why the hell didn't you tell me you were pregnant?
What?
What? Don't give me that shock and awe crap, Avery. I saw you at the drugstore. I saw you buy the pregnancy test.
You...
Her hands fisted on her hips.
You were spying on me?
Don't be stupid. I was out running errands and went into the CVS, and there you were pulling one of those tests off the shelf and tossing it in your basket. God damn it, what's wrong with you that you don't tell me? That you don't trust me or respect what we are to each other enough to tell me you're pregnant?
Maybe because I'm not.
Not?
I'm not pregnant, you moron.
Something odd worked inside him, but he couldn't identify the sensation.
The test was negative.
No, the test was positive.
She yanked out her phone. Now his heart jumped several beats and landed hard in his throat.
If it was positive, then you're pregnant. Who's the moron?
You.
She turned the phone around to show him the picture of the test stick and the pregnant.
Because this is Claire's pregnancy test. The pregnancy test I picked up for her this morning when she asked me to.
I saw Beckett 10 minutes ago. Claire's not pregnant, or he'd have told me.
She hasn't told him. She wants to tell him when they're alone, wants to make it a special moment, which you'd also get if you weren't the moron. And she asked me not to tell anyone, and now I've broken my promise, and that pisses me off.
I won't say anything to him, for Christ's sake. I won't spoil it for them.
Unsteady, unsure, a little lightheaded, he shoved both hands through hair just damp enough to stand out in tufts.
But, Jesus, what was I supposed to think when I saw you buying the thing?
I don't know, Owen. Maybe the solution might have been to walk the hell up to me, say, "Hey, Avery, fancy meeting you here, and why are you buying that pregnancy test?"
I have to sit down.
He did.
I'm going to remind you, you owe me a break.
He breathed for a minute.
I couldn't think. And then you were just walking off. You were so damn casual about it. And I just couldn't think.
She said nothing as she studied him. He looked so perplexed, so confused, as Owen rarely did.
You wigged.
In a manner of speaking, maybe.
And you jumped to conclusions.
Okay.
You never jump.
I've never seen you buy a pregnancy test before, especially when I'm the only one having sex with you. She considered.
That's actually sort of understandable.
Sort of.
When a grin tugged at the corners of her mouth, she let it come.
You totally freaked.
I semi-freaked, he corrected.
I was more pissed and...
Might as well admit it, he decided.
And hurt when I thought you weren't telling me. We've never talked about if.
She blew out a breath.
That's a conversation. I don't know, and it's not something we can talk out in 10 minutes, I guess. We're fine now, right? Because I'm not, and Claire is. And she's so happy. Beckett's going to be happy.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
So let's just be happy for them, and let me have the pleasure of knowing you were a moron. We'll talk about ifs sometime. But I really want to see the demo. Then I told Claire I'd get the kids from school and bring them to the shop so she can tell Beckett. She doesn't want to tell the kids until she's further along. Probably not until after the wedding, anyway. It's for her and Beckett now, and I guess you and me and Hope and Ryder and your parents and hers, which is already a lot.
All right. Steadier, he rose. But we'd both better think about it and talk it out, in case.
You worry about in case more than I do. But we'll do that. It's a really good day, Owen.
You're right.
He settled a bit more when she reached up, smoothed at his hair.
It's a really good day.
For right now, let's just be happy for Claire and Beckett. They're getting married, making a family, expanding one. It's all exactly what they both want.
All right,
he said again, and reached for her, drew her in.
We'll be happy for them. Sorry I was pissed at you.
I'm not, because I get to say moron.
On a laugh, she tipped back her head, kissed him. Let's go over to the new place.
Can I knock something down?
I'll find something for you to demo. It's the least I can do.
Chapter 19. Hope shifted the clear vase of white roses an inch to the left. There. Though Avery didn't see the difference, she nodded approval. They'd transformed the long table borrowed from Turn the Page with the draping of white linen, with Hope's focused eye, clear, square vases of newly opened white roses and tiny white tea lights in silver holders graced what would serve as the dessert and champagne bar. Claire may have opted against a white wedding, but her wedding shower was going full out. Gifts there, food there, desserts and champagne here. Hands on hips, Hope turned a circle in the dining room. You did a great job on her chair. I amazed myself. They positioned one of the high-backed chairs to face the room. An enormous bow of white tulle crowned the top, its tails flowing to the floor. Garlands of white and pale, pale pink twined around the rungs, the arms, the legs. I forget how much I like girly stuff until I have a chance to do some. Gorgeous red heels clicking on hard wood, Hope walked over to shift candles minutely. I'm going to put some wine, some nibbles in the lounge, so people can wander around, settle down wherever they like. You know a lot of people coming haven't seen the place yet. You're going to get hit up for tours. Already figured on it. It's just too bad it's really not warm enough so we can spread out into the courtyard. Anyway, the place looks great, and we look. She turned, hooked an arm through Avery's so they reflected together in the gold-framed mirror. Fabulous.
Agreed.
So? Pre-party champagne?
Twist my arm.
They went into the kitchen, where Hope poured two flutes. She clinked hers against Avery's.
To maids of honor
and godmothers.
That would be us.
And in about 8 months, we'll be hosting a baby shower.
4 kids, whew.
Avery took a drink, then hoisted her glass again.
More power to them.
They've got it. Love runs the engine.
You think?
I do. Hope slid onto a stool. How long do you think they can keep this a secret? The two of them are absolutely radiant.
Most people will think that's about the wedding, and part of it is. If they can keep it quiet until after the honeymoon, that's Claire's goal anyway. It gives them a little breathing room.
I can't believe you kept it from me for an entire day.
I was dying to tell you.
In her spring green dress, Avery hopped onto her own stool, tugged down the narrow skirt.
And I would have come over and filled you in after work, but the whole Owen thing was so weird.
What are the chances? Because it still amused her, Hope leaned back and laughed.
Seriously, he turns the corner in the drugstore just as you're buying the test kit. Fate's twisted little joke on him.
Poor guy. Imagine what was going through his mind.
That's just it. I can't, or not clearly. And I usually get Owen's mind. But he was so serious. I can't figure out if he was mad, scared, what.
A combo of both, I imagine.
Even after I explained?
It continued to nag at her just a little.
We both brushed it aside, but really, I can't be sure. Mad and scared because maybe I was? Or maybe I was and hadn't said anything?
I'd guess he had to process the okay, it's Claire, but what if it had been? Didn't you?
Maybe. A little. But only because I had to think what if we'd gone down that road after his reaction. You know Owen by now. He's a planner. Everything in its time, in its place. He's the guy who actually checks the expiration date on the milk carton before he buys it.
So do I.
Which is why you get him. An unplanned pregnancy?
Avery rolled her eyes.
That would shake the very foundation of his life plan.
What's his life plan?
I don't know, but you can bet he's got one.
I think you're wrong, Hope topped off their flutes. I say that because I share a lot of sensibilities and traits with him. Yes, he probably has a basic plan, which includes goals, achievements, events, steps. But he's also capable of adjusting the plan. She lifted a hand, gesturing around her.
I did.
Sure, he can adjust. Organized and efficient, wasn't rigid, she told herself. It was just a little stiff by her personal gauge.
Okay, since we're playing what if I'd been buying that kit for myself, and if the results had been positive, he'd adjust and plan out from there. The first step of the plan would be marriage.
That annoys you?
No. No. He'd see that as doing the right thing, the necessary thing. I wouldn't want to get married because it's the right thing.
Better that than the wrong thing, Hope pointed out.
You know what I mean. I want to get married because I want to get married. I'm ready, in love, excited about the idea of spending my life with someone.
Because they were there, Hope took one of the little pastel mints from a bowl on the island.
You'd say no?
I don't know.
I do.
You'd say no because you'd feel obligated to prove a point, and to let him off the hook. Both of those in equal measure. Recrossing her legs, Hope studied Avery over her next sip of champagne.
I can take care of myself, and you're not obligated to marry me. Share responsibility for the child? Yes. Be a vital and integral part of the child's life? Yes. But under no obligation to you, individually.
That sounds hard line.
I don't think so. It sounds like you. Pride, caution, heart, tangled up with parental issues.
Would they have gotten married if she hadn't been pregnant with me?
A bit grimly, Avery took a gulp of champagne.
I don't think so.
If they hadn't,
you wouldn't be sitting here wondering about it. They made a choice. You're the result. Avery lifted a shoulder. The Hope Beaumont Practical School of Logic. It generally works. Listen, I wouldn't be sitting here with you if Jonathan hadn't made his choice, which led to mine. I've thought about that a lot in the past months. I'm happy here. Happier than I was when I was with Jonathan, when I thought my life was proceeding according to my very solid, very practical school of logic plans. Avery considered a moment. I get your point, but Hope, Jonathan was an asshole. On a laugh, Hope lifted her glass. Yes, but I thought he was my asshole. She checked her watch. We should start putting the rest of the food out. They'd barely begun when Claire tapped on the lobby door. I know I'm a little early, she began when Avery answered. I dropped the kids off at the new house, which is really almost entirely a house. Beckett and his brothers are going to put the kids to work. God help them all. Oh, wow, just wow. Look at those flowers. Wait till you see the dining room. Give me your coat first. We've got a rack for coats in the laundry. How are you feeling? It's just me and Hope. Nobody else is here yet. Good. Laughing a little, she tossed her sunny blonde hair off her shoulders. When I threw up this morning, all I could think was, I'm having a baby. Beckett and I are having a baby. So I'm good. It shows. I don't mean the baby, Avery said with a snicker when Claire laid hands on her belly. Come see. When she dragged Claire into the dining room, Hope stepped back from the buffet. What do you think?
It's beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. All the flowers and candles. You made me a chair.
Claire blinked at the tears swirling in her eyes.
I'm watering up again. I don't know if it's happiness or hormones, probably a mix of both. I got teary when Beckett did the breakfast dishes this morning.
A bride's allowed to get teary at her shower, Hope told her.
I hope so, because I have a feeling. Thank you so much for everything. For all this. For being mine.
Keep it up, Avery warned. We'll all be crying.
I'm going to go hang this up.
She hurried out, hung Claire's coat next to her own jacket. As she started back again, something drew her across the lobby and down to the base of the stairs. Had she heard something? It was more felt something, Avery thought. She walked quietly up, away from Claire's and Hope's voices. The door to Elizabeth and Darcy stood open. But then all the rooms stood open, as Hope wanted to allow the guests to wander, to enjoy the rooms if they were busy playing hostess. In E&D, the porch door stood open as well. A touch of honeysuckle hung on the cool March air blowing gently into the room. She didn't hear or see, but again felt, and what she felt was sorrow.
Please come in, she murmured. Please come inside. I know you're sad. It must be so hard to accept. Owen's looking for Billy. If anyone can find things out, figure things out, it's Owen. But meanwhile, you're not alone here. I know how it feels because I've felt alone.
She took another step toward the door, waited.
But I was wrong to feel that way. I always had someone who cared about me, even when everything seemed so hard, so sad. You do too. We care about you.
She hesitated, then chose impulse. The majority of the time, Lizzie seemed happy, even playful. Romantic, Avery thought. A young woman with a cheerful nature.
I have a secret. I think I could tell you because I bet you know how to keep a secret. Especially a happy secret like this one. Please, come inside.
The door to the porch slowly closed. Taking the presence on faith, Avery sat on the side of the bed. We're having a party downstairs today. A bridal shower for Claire.
She wasn't sure if they'd had the tradition of bridal showers in Eliza Ford's time.
It's something we do. Women, I mean. We have a party to celebrate our friend's upcoming wedding. We have food, games, we bring her gifts. It's happy. Only a few people who will be here know the secret. But I know Claire wouldn't mind if I tell you. You care about Beckett and Claire and the boys. They're making such a nice family, and in a few months, they'll be a bigger family. Claire's pregnant. She and Beckett are going to have a baby next winter. The scent bloomed, strong and sweet as summer, and the air warmed with it.
I know, isn't it great? You watched them fall in love. I think it really started here in the inn. Now they'll be married here in just a couple weeks. Everything about them is so strong and sure and right. That's rare, don't you think? To be that strong and sure and right. To find the person who fits and fills in, links up. I don't even know the words. She glanced down, saw she was clutching the little key Owen had given her, and there were tears, her own tears, on the back of her hand.
Claire's hormones must be contagious. I'm not sad, I'm not.
She felt something stroke her hair, and she closed her eyes in wonder that she could be comforted by the touch.
I'm not sad, she repeated. I'm just not as strong and sure as I wish I could be. How do people risk it? You must have risked so much for Billy. How do you do that?
As she watched, a light fog covered the glass of the porch door, and the outline of a pretty heart shone against it.
It seems so simple, Avery murmured. Why isn't it?
The sound of voices, of laughter, drifted up the stairs.
Party's starting. I've got to get down.
She pushed to her feet, moved to the little mirror to make sure her eyes showed no sign of tears.
You should come. I'm issuing an official invitation. You don't have to be alone, she added, and went down to be with her friends,
knowing she spoke as much to herself as her ghost. She dived into the party. Yes, she did enjoy the girly when she had time. Pretty dresses, pretty food, talk of weddings and men and fashion and morsels of gossip. Even better to remember she had a very juicy morsel herself, known only to a handful of the women, and one ghost in attendance. She drank champagne and served it, ate fancy finger sandwiches and carried dishes to the kitchen. While Hope efficiently kept a log of gifts and givers for Claire, she bagged the torn wrapping. Carol Lee artfully fashioned a paper plate bouquet out of discarded ribbons and bows. Silly things and female things. The scents, the sounds against the backdrop of bride white and flickering candles. The bride-to-be and expectant mama drinking ginger ale disguised in a champagne flute, and laughing at the whistles and cheers when she opened a nearly transparent black nightie.
You girls did good. Over the boisterous competition in another game, Justine gave Avery a squeeze. Couldn't have done better.
We loved every minute.
It shows. Claire's smart and lucky in her friends.
I feel the same about myself.
That shows too. I think we could use another bottle of champagne. Give me a hand?
Sure.
I really just wanted a minute with you, Justine said as they went into the kitchen.
Okay.
Justine took the bottle Avery got out of the fridge, set it on the counter.
I'm a really good mom.
I don't know better.
And you won't.
She grinned back at Avery,
Then her face softened as she stroked a hand over Avery's hair.
I've thought of you as mine, even before Tracy left.
Oh, Justine.
I always figured you knew. But I never said it to you. Maybe I should have.
Touched. So touched, Avery could only shake her head.
I always knew I could count on you, could go to you.
I hope so, and I hope you always will. Avery, you're one of the brightest lights I know. Certainly one of my brightest. I'm sorry to see some of that bright dim off and on the last few weeks.
I'm working on it.
You don't have to. You feel what you feel.
Owen had said exactly the same, Avery remembered. Like a stroke on her hair, it comforted.
I'm going to take a chance now and say something I've wanted to say for a lot of years. Tracy was, and is, a flighty, selfish woman who always wanted more than she had, and always blamed someone else if she didn't get it. If she did get it, it was never really right, never really enough. And that was always someone else's fault. You're nothing like her. I've watched you grow up, and I know who you are, what you are.
Do you think she ever loved me?
Yes.
With no hesitation, Justine gave Avery's hand a squeeze.
Yes, she loved you, and I think she loves you now. Just not enough.
Not enough might be worse than not at all, Avery murmured.
Maybe, but that's not on you, honey. It's nothing about you, and all about Tracy. I want to think you know that, deep down. Maybe you haven't gotten there yet. Meanwhile, you're smart and lucky in your friends, and you can count on them. But sometimes a girl needs a mom. You have me.
Avery went into her arms, held hard.
I knew. I always knew, but it helps hearing you say it. I don't want you to worry about me.
Part of the job, but I don't worry much when it comes to you. She lifted Avery's face, smiled.
Bright light. You've always found your way.
After the guests, after the cleanup, and with Carol Lee handling the two party guests who'd booked rooms for the night, Avery talked Hope into coming to her apartment for a break.
Feet up,
Avery plopped down, put hers on the coffee table.
Congratulations, co-hostess.
Back at you. Jesus, I'm exhausted.
Half of that's adrenaline drain. You get hyped.
I do, but that was one kick-ass shower.
And on to one kick-ass wedding.
Self-satisfied, Avery stretched her arms up, rolled her shoulders.
I'm going to make us some tea in a minute. Then we can talk about Janice and what she was thinking when she put on those pants. They made her butt look like an enormous beefsteak.
Laying her head back, Hope closed her eyes, chuckled.
God, they really did. On the other hand, Lori looked so pretty and so excited about her own wedding.
It's too bad they'd already booked the venue before we were finished with the inn.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Maybe.
Charlene did pull me aside. She and the other bookstore girls want to give Lori a shower, and now they want to talk about having it at the inn. I need to talk to Justine, figure out a venue fee for an event like that. I thought I was a workhorse.
She pushed herself up, kicking off her shoes on the way to the kitchen, then detoured at the knock on the door.
Please don't be a problem downstairs. Please don't be a problem downstairs, she muttered.
Owen!
Saw the light. I thought we could... Hi, Hope.
Hi, I was just leaving.
No, she wasn't. She was about to have some well-deserved tea. Carol Lee's in charge at the inn for a couple hours. You want some tea?
She asked him.
Or I've got some beer.
I'll take the beer. We put in a long one, too. I can take it to go if you...
Geez, sit.
She pushed him toward a chair.
All this politeness is making my teeth hurt, and my feet already do.
She's always so welcoming.
But he bypassed the chair, sat on the couch.
I had some time last night and early this morning, he told Hope, for a little research.
As soon as the wedding's done, I swear I'll put in more time on that, help you out.
No problem. I couldn't give it much today because we're really pushing on Beck's place.
How's it coming?
Avery called out.
We're nearly there. A lot of painting, punch-out details.
Sounds familiar,
Hope said with a smile.
I'm working out the timeline.
Also familiar,
Avery said from the kitchen.
It's going to be close, but we can just about knock it out by the wedding. Get the final inspections. I was thinking we could load them in while they're on their honeymoon. We couldn't have everything in where they're going to want it, you know, like hanging pictures or the fussy stuff, but we could get the furniture in there, stock the kitchen, that kind of thing.
Avery came out with a tray and mugs of tea and a bottle of beer. She set it down, leaned over, and kissed him.
That's you. That's you who'd think of that.
It'd be nice for them to get back and basically move right in.
It's a great idea. I'll help all I can, Hope promised. I do know where she plans to put a lot of things. We've talked about it. Hope's got a memory like an elephant. But not an ass like an enormous tomato.
Owen just lifted his brows when Avery snorted in her tea.
Girl joke, she told him.
Okay. Anyway, we'll plan for it. How did it all go today?
It was perfect.
Hope curled up her legs.
And we had one unexpected guest. I caught her scent off and on all through the party. And I really think she helped herself to some champagne, if that's possible. I found an empty glass up in E&D after I'd already done the check through and all the others had gone. I invited her. Avery sipped her tea. I went up there before, and I don't know, I just got the feeling she was down. Sad. I told her about the baby and the shower. It seemed to cheer her up.
That's you, Owen murmured. That's you who'd think of that. I might have more on her. I've been looking into her family. She had two older brothers and a younger sister. One brother died in the war. The other came back, got married, had four kids, so I've got those threads if we need them. The sister married a couple years after the war. Five kids, but one died as a baby. From what I've found, the sister lived way into her 90s. They moved to Philadelphia a couple years after the marriage. That might be something for you to look into, Hope, as that's where your family's from.
Can do.
Do you know anything about Liberty House School?
Surprise flooding her face, Hope looked up from her tea.
As a matter of fact, I do.
Why?
I haven't pulled all the details yet, but I ended up going off on a tangent. You know how it happens. And I came on the Liberty House School for Girls, founded in 1878. It has the sister as one of the founders, and a big influence on providing education to girls at a time when it wasn't a big thing. It's co-ed now, but still a respected private school up there.
It is. I went there.
Seriously?
Surprised, Owen leaned forward, forearms on thighs. Small world.
Yes, frowning, Hope set down her tea. What was the sister's name?
Catherine.
Her married name?
Darby, Catherine Darby. I read that the library in the school's named for her.
It is. And it is a really spookily small world. The Catherine Darby who helped found the Liberty House School for Girls in 1878 was my great-times-three grandmother. Holy shit, Avery gaped. And again, holy shit! Hope, if all this is right, You're related to Lizzie. You're her great times three niece.
You're sure about this, Hope?
Hope merely glanced at Owen.
I went to Liberty House from kindergarten through middle school, just like my mother and uncle did, and my maternal grandmother, like my brother did, like my sister did. It's a family tradition. And before you ask, I don't know much about the family history, not that far back. I imagined Catherine Darby as the old woman, old to a kid, in the painting in the library at school. I've never heard about her having a sister who died. I didn't even know her maiden name.
Do you think anyone in your family would know more? The more personal stuff that might not show up in research?
Honestly, I don't know. But I can find out.
This is so strange.
So strange she felt a tickle at the back of her throat.
I need to let it settle in. I can't think straight on this yet. I'm going to go. Do you want me to go with you? To stay with you tonight?
No, I'm not afraid. I'm not upset. I just need to process.
Why don't I walk you across?
Stop it,
Hope insisted with a little laugh before Owen could stand.
I think I can make it across the square. I just need to clear my head, then think. This is just really strange.
Avery popped up, went with Hope to the door.
You call me if you can't settle. Promise?
All right.
Processing, she tapped her temple.
You know I need to.
Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't let you go without me. But Hope?
Hmm?
Wow.
Yeah, you can say that again.
When Hope went out, Avery turned back to Owen and did.
Wow!
The sister, he murmured. I don't know why I followed that path, really. I just wanted the information. The more you know kind of thing. But I didn't see how it could help find the Billy Lizzie once, and now... I know coincidences happen, but this is really stretching it.
So what? Fate?
What else? He pushed up to pace. You were born and raised in Boonesboro, and Hope's born and raised in Philadelphia. You end up being college roommates and friends. Solid friends. So solid, she visits here, makes solid friends with Claire. The same Claire my brother's about to marry. My mother falls in love with the old hotel, manages to buy it. We put blood, sweat, and tears into rehabbing it. The person we're hiring as innkeeper gets pregnant, has to bow out, and you and Claire come up with Hope. Who's looking to relocate because she's been screwed over by her asshole and his family.
She's tailor-made for the job, Owen continued. Hotel manager, knows all the ropes, some we hadn't even thought of. Overqualified, and not really looking to relocate here. And my mom hires her on the spot, barely talked to her, and boom, she's hired. Hope accepts the same way, boom.
Well, when you add it all up that way,
that's how it adds up.
He stopped his restless pacing to face her. One twist, then another. One choice, then another. All leading to the same place. The inn. Lizzie, Hope, and maybe if it keeps adding, to this Billy.
Do you think she knows? Eliza, I mean?
I don't know. It seems if she did, she'd have made more effort to connect with Hope. When you think about it, it's been more with us, Beckett, me, Rye, though Rye doesn't talk about it much. My mother, even you.
And Murphy. He's the first one who saw her. That we know of.
Kids, Owen shrugged. They haven't learned not to believe the impossible.
Is what?
He looked at her, lit up with a grin.
So fucking cool.
And? Wait a minute. I was distracted, caught up. I just noticed.
Noticed what?
Your hair. It's back. He crossed to her, ran his fingers through the bright golden red. It's Avery's hair again.
I decided to try being me for a while, see how it goes.
The way I like you best.